Welcome to From the Heart with Daryl Underwood, pastor of Servants Heart Chapel in Clovis, New Mexico. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's sermon. Now here's Pastor Daryl.
Continuing our series on habits for holiness, we've talked about reading the Bible, we've talked about prayer, obedience. What was the habit we talked about last week? What is it, Ben?
Worship.
That is correct. Very good. You get the gold star for today. Wonderful. So we talked about worship. And today, the next habit for holiness that we're going to talk about, the next Christian discipline we're going to talk about is evangelism. Pastor and author Francis Chan made a big announcement recently. I don't know if any of you heard about it. I've known about him for a while. He wrote the book Crazy Love, wonderful book. But he was a man. He started a church in his garage, and it blew up into a church of thousands of people. And so by the world standards, he was hugely successful, had this massive mega church. Everything was great, and then he realized he was not doing church the way Jesus wanted him to do church. Sure, people were coming, but there were no real heart and life changes taking place. So he left his church, left the megachurch, and started a house church movement. And in this past week or so, he made a big announcement telling everybody that he, or actually in a chapel session, that they video recorded. He informed everybody that he and his family very soon will be moving to Myanmar, which is a very, very Muslim area. I think far less than one. I can't remember the percentage that are Christian, but it's almost nothing, basically, in Myanmar. I guess they visited the area and he realized there were lots of people who had never heard about Jesus and were hungry to hear about it. So they're selling their house and packing up the family and moving there to preach to these people. And some people, and this has been on Facebook, and I've seen some people, you know, laud him. That's wonderful. You know, very challenging what he had to say about it. Others were kind of negative about it. You know, oh, he doesn't have to tell everybody about it. You know, he can just do it. And he's just doing it for show and a lot of negative talk. But what I get out of it is what I see is a man where evangelism is a core of his life. And so he adjusts his life to accommodate whatever is going to help him reach the most people for Christ. And I can appreciate that. Evangelism should not be, and that's great, evangelism is central in his life, but it should also be central in our lives as well. Did you know that? In America, it's very easy for us Christians to buy into this passive Christian consumerism. That we are here to consume, that you come to church and sit down and I provide this presentation, this show for you to watch and you're edified and maybe you learn something and then you put some money in the offering and ergo paying for the service and then you go your way and go home. And there's no part, there's no expectation from your part on the practice of evangelism, which is totally wrong. And we're going to talk about that. Evangelism, first link, help define the term. That way we can be on the same footing, the same page. Evangelism is nothing more than sharing the gospel or the good news regarding what Jesus did for us with others. Now, evangelism may also include sharing our testimony and or leading someone to Christ. That's what we're talking about, evangelism. We can share the gospel in many ways. Now, my personal favorite, and I've talked about it many times, is the three circles, where you draw three circles for somebody to illustrate what Jesus did for us in helping save us from damnation, from hell. And then allowing us to be forgiven and being restored back into a right relationship with God. I use the three circles. There's also the Roman road. I've seen, we actually have this cube where it shows different pictures and you can give a gospel presentation with that cube. I've also seen and used a colored bracelet where beads, colored beads mean different things, and you use that to help illustrate the gospel to someone. But no matter what method you may use, it's all the same. You identify a problem and then a solution. The problem, of course, is sin. The solution is Christ. And as has been said, sin the disease, Christ the cure. Jesus Christ, in fact, in Romans chapter 7, I forgot I was going to look at that real quick. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. What a wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law, but God, the slave to the law of God, but my flesh the law of sin. Paul, in that sense, he talked about that this body of death, this dying body, references an execution, pretty gruesome execution custom, where you would be tied to a dead body until you die. And so that is what Paul is referring to. And who can rescue me from this dying body? Jesus can rescue us from this dying body. And that is the gospel. And we can also get opportunities to share our testimony, which would include our life before Christ, and then how we came to Christ, and then our life after Christ. My life before Christ was miserable. I was bound to sin. I could not keep from that. I was a liar. I was hateful and so angry. And I would lie in bed at night and my sins would go over through my mind and I would feel the guilt from that. And then Jesus came into my life. I gave my heart to Him. And that changed everything. Completely changed everything. And really, for me, the starkest description of what my life then and my life now is to look back at my old high school buddies, where they're at now, those who did not go the way I went. And what do I see? I see addiction and jail time and pain and suffering and bitterness. That's where they're at now. And look at the blessings the Lord has given me because of Jesus. Evangelism may also include leading someone to Christ, and I hope you get the opportunity sometime soon to do just that. There's nothing more wonderful than praying with someone who confesses their sins and repents of their sins, turns away from the old life, and looks to Jesus as their hope and Savior and Lord of their life. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that glow on their face and the tears that are running down their face when they realize what has happened, when for the first time ever they feel clean and hopeful and and they feel that joy. I love when I get the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. In the 90s, they were renovating Washington's monument, the Washington Monument. They were renovating it, and they were tearing down some old wainscoting, and they discovered some graffiti behind it from the 1800s. But it's unlike what you would see today. One inscription was, "Whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofting and enduring than this." Did you get that? In essence, he was saying, whoever God honors with the pleasure to lead someone to Christ and pray with them and be part of that conversion where they repent of their old life and turn to Jesus, erects a monument more powerful and enduring than the Washington Monument. It's wonderful. I love each and every time God graces me with that opportunity. And I hope that he does, and I pray that he does the same for you. Because it's not just for pastors. You know that? It's not just for pastors and missionaries. It's for every Christian. Jesus said that. And in fact, he had a lot to say about evangelism. In Matthew, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." In Mark, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In Luke, he said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In John, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As a Father has sent me, I also send you." And finally in Acts, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So that is what we do. There's one tribe, I can't remember the name of the tribe. Maybe someone could help me out. But there's one tribe that has cut itself off from all civilization. It's on a little island, and it's very hostile. They try to kill anybody that comes up, and most countries try to protect them from encroachers. And one young man went there to try to preach the gospel to them. And they killed him. And the world thought that was just so stupid and foolish. But that was a worthy effort. And we'll keep trying until we get to the end of the earth. No doubt Jesus expected all of us to share the gospel to others. But we don't always do that. Many rarely, actually. There's a story, a true story, about a man who had gotten saved and came to work, and he was so excited about what Jesus did in his life, he couldn't help himself. He told his boss, and his boss said, "That's wonderful. I'm a Christian too." He's like, "What? You're a Christian? You never told me. All these years we've worked together, you never told me about Jesus." And he was angry. "Why didn't you tell me?" I had one guy I knew that I'd known for a number of years. And all the years I knew him, he talked so little about God. I asked him, I said, "Well, are you agnostic or atheist? And he was like, oh no, I believe in God. I wasn't allowed to talk about it at work, so I just got used to not talking about God. I've known this guy for a long time. And I did not know he actually believed in God. In 1993, 89% of Christians surveyed said sharing one's faith is the responsibility of every Christian. 89% believe that. Today, 64% believe that. In 2012 study, 80% of active Christians, those who attend church at least once a month, believe they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. But 61% of them, so 80% of them believe they have personal responsibility, but only one-third of them had actually told anybody. 61% of them had not told another person about how to become a Christian in the previous 6 months. Christians don't share their faith. And I have for you today a number of reasons why Christians don't share their faith. Number one, they don't know what evangelism is. They didn't know they were supposed to. Their pastor didn't preach it. Well, now you know. Number two, they don't see the seriousness of being lost. The reality that there's a lost world. Every 3 seconds, someone's being launched into eternity. And only one-third of the world population, if that, are professing Christians. The very real people launched into eternity, ready or not, is a very real and serious subject. But we don't see the seriousness of it. The third reason why Christians don't share their faith is they're afraid. They're nervous about it. I can empathize with that. I myself have dealt with that as a young Bible school student in Cincinnati. We were responsible for going out into the community and doing cold calling. And it scared me to death. I hated it. I hated every moment of it. I was so painful to get myself to go up to a door. And I remember, but there was this one woman with us, and she was just so excited. She loved it. She had never... Her attitude was completely different. She had never done before, but she loved it. She couldn't wait to knock on the next door. And there was one door I was going to skip, and she went ahead and rushed up there and knocked on the door and talked to the man of the house. And they got to talking, and they invited him to church, and the couple came to church. And in that service, the man wanted to give his heart to the Lord. And he asked me to take him up and walk with him to the front and pray with him. And I did. I was so happy to do that. And come to find out, he was getting ready to spend a number of years in prison. So we'd almost missed him. I almost let... If I had my way, my fear would have won out and we would have not had that wonderful opportunity to lead that man to Christ. Don't let your fear win out. That was a good lesson for me. From then on, I did not let my fear, that I remember, not let my fear get the best of me. And may I say this, if you are uncomfortable with it and nervous about it, just keep doing it. That fear goes away over time. That discomfort goes away. You get a lot more comfortable with it, a lot more confident. Fourth reason why Christians don't share their faith is they've gotten over their salvation. It's not that big a deal. It becomes this humdrum. Oh, this is the way it is. We sing these songs today, and I'm not criticizing you, because I don't know what's going through your heart and mind, but only God knows. But from my perspective, it seemed like, we were singing the songs about Christ's salvation, victory over sin, and we get used to that, and it becomes humdrum. So then, why bother sharing it? It's not that big of a deal. First reason why people don't share their faith is they don't think they're smart enough. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it reads, "When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus." They were uneducated and untrained, but they were still impressed, because you know what? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And God has raised up preachers with no education, no vocabulary, but man, they led people to Christ. You don't need to have a degree in apologetics to talk to people about Jesus. Sixth reason why Christians don't share their faith is they don't want to make anyone mad. Don't want to rock the boat. And I get that. I'm not a fan of conflict. I don't enjoy conflict. Who enjoys that? Except people who are fighters by nature, right? And they got the carnal nature and they just like to fight and cause problems. But as a Christian, you're not. You'd rather not. But sometimes it's going to happen. But I do want to remind you that in Luke chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, it reads, "Whatever house," this is Jesus' instructions to the disciples, "whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you." As Christians, we look for people of peace. That's what I do. When I'm out and about, I'm talking to people and just kind of normal interaction, I'm kind of keeping my eyes open for people of peace, those who are hungry for the truth. As soon as people find out that I'm a Christian, those who are not people of peace, I see this wall just kind of go over. They shut down. And I go, okay. I'm not going to throw pearls before swine. But if they're intrigued, because I've had people tell me more about this Christianity stuff. I don't really know anything about it. I'm going to share with them. But sometimes no matter what, you're going to have conflict. And mind you, you may have conflict from people who, more likely you're going to have conflict from people who were Christians than the outright pagans. Outright pagans are intrigued. Those who were Christians are convicted. Number seven, the seventh reason why people don't share their faith is their friends will make fun of them. This is more common with baby Christians, new Christians, and they're associating still with some of the old crowd. This is going to be a rejection. That's a normal part of the Christian walk. Eighth reason that people who don't share their faith is no one else does it. Well, we do at Servant's Heart Chapel. That's actually one of our three-part mission statement. Love God, love others, serve the world, right? Serve the world, there's two parts to that. One part is actually helping the community. The other part is sharing the gospel. That's what we do at Servant's Heart Chapel. Ninth reason that people don't share their faith is they don't know why they should. Well, we talked about why, because Jesus commanded it. Number 10, they don't know who to reach out to. Well, who do I talk to about sharing my faith? Well, what I'd like you to do, if you don't know who you might talk to, when you go home today, make a list. Get a piece of paper out or pull up the notepad on your phone. List all people who you know who aren't saved. Family, neighbors, friends, co-workers, your bank teller, your cashier, the salesperson at the store you frequent. And then I want you to make that list. I want you to pray and ask God to help you choose 5 people that you're going to share your faith with. Choose 5 from that list. And then see what God does. And then the 11th reason, the final reason why people don't share their faith is they don't know how. Well, here's how. Let me tell you. We evangelize by letting our light shine. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Just let your light shine. And mind you, your light is going to shine brightest when it's darkest. When you're going through the most pain in your life, people are going to be watching. Mind you, people are going to be watching you. They're watching you. They're going to see what you do. If somebody starts being rude to you, they're going to be watching you. I've told this story before, but I think it's been a while. I was in the military in one of my deployments. Some guys were hanging outside our tent drinking beer. They were all out there drinking beer. And I walked out of the tent, and when I walked out of the tent, about the same time, their chaplain had walked up. And he was talking to the guys, and one of them offered the chaplain a beer. And he took it. And I know what he was thinking. He was thinking, oh, I'm just going to be one of the guys. I think he just took a couple sips. They're gonna connect with me, and they're gonna be able to talk to me. I know what he was thinking, but they were watching him because he said that. I'm pretty sure, almost full beer down, and walked away. And they were like, "Can you believe that? A chaplain?" And I'm thinking, "You bunch of hypocrites." They were watching him. And I've had people try to get me to do things that are wrong. And I'd say, no. And they're like, yeah, you're right. I knew what they were doing. They were watching me. See what I do. How serious am I in my walk with God? So we evangelize by letting our light shine, and we also evangelize by praying for others. Praying with others. That's a very easy, non-invasive way to evangelize. Very few people don't mind being prayed for. Shannon mentioned a co-worker who's an atheist or agnostic, and he minded being prayed for. He said, don't do that. That's unusual. I have friends who are outright atheists, and they don't mind at all if I pray for them. They think it's a waste of time, but they appreciate what I was trying to do. And praying with people, you talk about the challenges they face. And so you pray with them, and that lets them know that there is a God that cares for them. Many people have gotten saved from that. You know, some people evangelize better by serving rather than speaking. We talk about evangelism as in sharing the gospel, right? And I share a testimony. And I talked about fear. But I understand. I talked about the importance of trying to get over that fear. But I get it. And there have been many people who have evangelized by serving, by going and cleaning up someone's yard, or helping someone with something, and helping them fix their car. We have some friends in Africa right now. The Sturdivants. And he's not a preacher. The husband isn't a preacher. He's a mechanic. But they felt called to go there and work and help and encourage. And so he evangelizes by serving. We evangelize by living the Word. Did you know that? Remember I said when people watch you, let your life shine. That's kind of similar to the first one I was talking about. 2 Corinthians 2 and 3 says, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Praise the Lord. We are often... In fact, Billy Graham once said, "We are the Bibles the world is reading." Did you know that? You're often the only Bible people read. How accurate a translation are you? How accurate is your translation? We evangelize by sharing tracts. Little booklets and pamphlets and brochures that in different ways, many different modes and means, share the gospel. We got some back there that we have, and it looks like I need to restock more. I see some empty pockets, but you're welcome to take those. Maybe you're that's one way you can share the gospel. I've known people who have put tracts in their bills. When they send off a bill, they put a tract in there. Someone's got to open up that envelope. When they go to a restaurant, they leave a tract. And by the way, if you go to a restaurant and leave a tract, please tip well. Don't leave a quarter with a tract. Jesus loves you. Here's a quarter. And finally, we evangelize by listening. Did you know that? Sometimes you can evangelize by just being a good listener. Just talk with somebody. And when they know you care, that means everything to them. And they realize maybe this is for real. Maybe there is a God and He does care about me. There's a story, true story, of a high school girl who heard a speaker talk about evangelism. And as she listened, she decided that she wanted to make a difference in her high school. And so she prayed and asked God to give her an opportunity. The next day at school, one of her teachers, who was fed up with the way things were going, walked into her classroom and said, "I've had it. I'm tired of the hassle of teaching kids who don't have any respect. If any of you can tell me what life is all about and what our purpose is, go ahead." And the girl was a little surprised. She realized God had just answered her prayer. And so then she raised her hand and explained to her teacher that she had found answers to those questions in Jesus Christ. Teacher, the teacher who was an agnostic, invited her to stay after class and explain her beliefs. And when she suggested that he attend an evangelistic meeting, he agreed. And that Friday night, this agnostic teacher put his trust in Jesus as Savior. And today, he's active in Christian service. Pray for opportunities. As another assignment for you today, I talked about making a list. Ask God for opportunities. And tell you see God give you an opportunity, because He will. It'll come. If you pray, if you're serious about it, it's going to come. Until then, though, let your light shine. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand.
Thank you for joining us. If you liked this podcast, then hit the subscribe button. Also, take some time to rate us. Feel free to check out our website at servantsheartchapel.org, and you can email us at servantsheartchapel@gmail.com. Thanks again, and have a blessed week.